You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
I committed to a marathon.
Why would you do that?
Why not? It's only a 10K-er.
10K?
That doesn't count, man.
That's not even a half marathon.
Guys do that hungover on Christmas Day.
Thanks a lot for the support. Everything I do, you think's a joke.
Shut up and drive. With Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Ray's coming up here in a moment. Jerry's percentage is at 5:30. Masai Ujiri at 6. Raps back in action tonight. The Hornets are in town, and that was an awful game for them again last night. Now, they have lost to Chicago 11 straight games. Dwayne Wade didn't play last night. A couple of other key pieces for the Bulls were not in the lineup. And that second quarter caught them. You know, they gave up, 34 points, I think, in the second quarter, and that was it. It was over. They were down by 19 or 20 before you could even flinch. And that's after a big trade. After your president and GM have said...
And even though the guy didn't play, there was supposed to be an energetic buzz.
That's what I was expecting out of them last night. I really thought they were going to win last night. And I know the history between them and Chicago. They just can't beat them for whatever reason. But I really felt they would step up and say, you know what?
Not tonight.
Yeah. Not tonight. Like, we're going to take this trade and run with it here, even though Ibaka's not going to be in the lineup. This is a confidence boost for us. This is our organization doubling down on what we're capable of doing. And it's only one game. Doesn't mean they can't bounce out of it tonight.
No, but it should have been a boost.
It should have been a boost, and it was the complete opposite. They were horrible again. They got smoked again. And Chicago's not a great team. It just, I think that had to be disappointing. And we'll ask Masai about that in about an hour, and Serge Ibaka is set to speak with the media any moment now, and we'll find out if he passed the physical and if he'll be in the lineup tonight. I'm hopeful that he will be. I'm curious to see what he's going to bring to this team. And the Leafs are back in action tonight as well. They're in Columbus. We're out here at 6:30 today for the pregame. Puck drop at 7 p.m. right here on TSN 1050.
And yes, guy, no guy.
The Tapman's in the building.
The Stash is here. Chat with him.
And Leafs are coming off a very impressive win last night. 7-1 over the Islanders, and the Islanders have been hot ever since their coaching change, and the Islanders were a point back with a chance to jump over the Leafs into that second wild card, and the Leafs said no dice.
That was a big game for the Islanders, and the Leafs played outstanding, and the Islanders were no good, and the Leafs made them look bad.
Freddie Anderson was really solid. Mm-hmm. Late in the first, early in the second. The second half of the game, he didn't even have to move.
Right.
The third got started, it was over. But he made some big stops, and we referenced this in the previous hour. The Freddie chance, we haven't heard that in a long time. Mm-hmm. The goalie getting a chance or an individual player getting a chance like that. When the ref made the phantom call on the penalty shot, the fan base in the building last night seemed to be really loud, really rambunctious. That's really foreign territory, and I think that speaks to what this season has been all about. Kind of a learning process for every Leaf fan, because right. Leaf fans have not had this kind of situation before, where Matthews is doing what he's doing night in, night out. Marner, Nylander, Freddie Anderson, Josh Levo comes out of left field with a goal and two assists last night.
It's been all misery for 10 years.
And that building's been a morgue as a result, and everyone blames it on the suits, and that fact is in to an extent. But when you have no hope... or no reason to get fired up.
Right.
If you have to manufacture your passion because you know the team isn't going to supply it for you, it's very difficult to do. Now it's very easy to get fired up. And they put a 7 spot on the board last night.
That was a dominating win. Austin Matthews, that second goal he scored, awesome.
Didn't that remind you of Crosby? Wasn't that a Crosby-type goal?
The backhand chip? Where, short side?
Like, that was the first one. Where he chases Cizikas up the boards.
Oh, yeah, up the wall and then turns
him.
It over, yeah.
It goes, was kind of Taze, Jonathan Taze.
I don't know how to put a comparison on him.
It was just flat out awesome.
It was very, very impressive. But the reason why I would use Sid as an example, because we've said this before, and oh, you've been preaching this for a long time. Sid goes to ugly areas. He can score beautiful goals and make beautiful plays.
But
and
he
so
works
can Matthews.
To get the puck back.
But he works to get the puck back, and he'll go to the net, and he will out-battle people. And that's what Matthews did. He out-battled Cizikas and then went right at Boychuk and said, "You're not stopping me." Like, that's the kind of goal you see out of Crosby.
Yeah.
That kind of determination to just get the job done.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
Datsyuk as well.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably use a bunch of great players as an example. Let's bring in Ray. And Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. We were talking about the crowd last night, Ray, and none of us were in the building. But you've called a lot of games at the ACC over the years. It translated for me. I mean, the Freddie chants, when the ref was just fumbling that game left, right, and center, the ref was being pounced on by the fans. Have you sensed, or did you sense specifically last night, that there was just a different feeling in the ACC in terms of what the fans were bringing?
100%. What I see is people that are engaged and people that are having fun. And I don't know how long it's been since that's been the case. I mean, I've been doing Leaf games now for quite some time, and it has been like a... It has been like death in there. Like for the most, like nothing happens. Nobody cheers. Nobody boos. Nobody does anything. They just kind of sit there. But now they've got all these players that create excitement. They've got the possibility of something spectacular happening in a lot of cases, and so they want to be there. They've completely transformed. These kids have completely transformed the way I think the people look at this team. And I'm last night the Islanders, you know, I mean, they didn't play particularly well, but they play a pretty upbeat or up-tempo game. There was a lot of chances. I think in the first period there were four goalposts, and going either way, there was lots happening, and so it was really cool. You guys were talking about Matthews. Do you remember the play? It would have been in the first period. He was like in a shoebox right inside his zone.
We kind of had a toe drag up the middle.
And then he chipped it past the next guy. Yeah. And you're like, well, like there was no room to make the first play, except he made it. And then he made another one. And you're like, man, most guys would have just shot it up the ice somewhere.
Yeah.
He reminds, I know you guys were just talking about, he reminds me a bit of Malkin with his hands.
Yeah.
With his size. He's just a dynamite player, man. So good to watch.
Not bad comparisons any way you throw it.
You'll throw all of them into a blender and say, we'll take it. And that's the beauty of having a situation like this, because the last time that guy was in Toronto was probably Sundin, where other fans of other teams around the league would say their young guy kind of reminds them of Sundin. There hasn't been anyone like that here in a long time.
As soon as he scored his second goal last night, I'm like... Maybe he's close to putting a stranglehold onto the Calder Trophy, and I kept looking at the updates from Winnipeg.
The other guys.
Line A, then Line A.
Line A with his third hat trick of
the
season.
Marner, I think, but Marner's in there too, leading in points, Matthews in goals, and Line A points per game. It's crazy.
I somehow think those Line A and Matthews, though, in particular, they must have a buzzer in their glove
exactly.
When the other guy scores. Because when Matthews got his second, did you not think he's going to get another one? Like, I thought he's going to get a third one here in this period. The way the game had changed, I'm like, he's got the puck way too much right now. He's going to get another one.
Well, he's just such a phenomenal player. They all are. And what ends up happening, and we've fallen into this trap two or three different times this year, when he goes into a bit of a point slump, we immediately start focusing on his line mates. And they've been hammering this on the lunch for a couple of weeks, Patrick O'Sullivan in general. And Sully's been pointing out facts. I mean, Brown is not really scoring anymore. Hyman, I think, has three goals in his past, 17, 18 games, and they're all shorthanded, I believe.
You know what?
They have a big night and win some games, you stop talking about his line mates.
Well, I think what they do is they might hold him back from really big nights.
Like a 4 or 5 point night kind of thing,
because he's that good, and just as Ray said, he has the puck that much, and they might hold him back from those stretches where you tack on
like the second assist
and just the duration, like as 5 or 6 game streak where you might have 13 or 14 points where you're just your whole line is just completely on fire. But those two guys, they generally are hardworking guys. They get the puck for him, but they don't really get on fire.
No, so Hyman's got one goal in 10 games, and Brown's got one in 14.
Yeah, it's hard to be on fire.
You know, like you're not getting a 4-point night. Not happening very often. Not that it happens a lot anymore anyway, but if he had a real finisher with him, even though, you know, he's got way more goals than assists, maybe that's part of the reason. I know Babcock likes to say, well, these guys are dogs on a bone and they get him the puck. And that is true. And there are plays where they don't get a point, but it's their work that helps create the chance. But Matthews gets the puck a lot by himself, too. Like, he's really good at it. You can't have a perfect mesh. Maybe Nylander will be that guy on a full-time basis in short order as Babcock trusts him more and more, but they seem to like him to balance out the skill on different lines, too. You know, I mean, he got a lucky bounce last night, but, man, he made a couple of really good plays, too.
Yeah, he's a really good player. And I can understand the logic behind having Marner, Matthews, and Nylander on three different lines. That's very difficult for the opposing coach to shut down on any given night. And, you know, you're right about the line mates factoring into the big nights, because I would love to know how many second assists like Bozak has this year. Because he just got it to Marner, then Marner either did, you know, tic-tac-toe with somebody else or what have you. It's just not a situation where we've come in the next day and said, wow, Matthews had a horrible night, but he had three assists. You know, it just doesn't happen. Like, it's always, if he's putting up the numbers, it's because he was so dominant that he forced it out of his line mates.
That Marner had a couple shifts last night where he was just...
He's a spectacular talent.
He is a spectacular talent.
You know, Wills...
Hey, but it's not even... Sometimes it's, to me, it's not even... the talent, like, that made me jump up. There was a shift in the second period, and he had the puck, and then he didn't have it, and then he got it back, and then he
threw a sauce pass that was just redonkulous.
Yeah, he went right around the corner, like into the left-hand offensive corner. He threw it all the way back across, and it looked like he was playing peewee. Like, I'm really, really impressed, and I think more than anything that the young guys have done this year, what took me by surprise by the biggest stretch was Marner's ability to play when the game is closing in on him. I thought that's where you were going to go, you know what, he's still a teenager and his best days are going to be ahead of him and he's still a little young and a little weak, and I don't see that. I that's been the one thing that's just blown me away with him.
I think he's getting better as the season goes on, and that's saying something because
faster,
opening night
better.
In Ottawa, he was unbelievable. First period of his career. Like, Matthews turned out to be the story for obvious reasons. He scored four, right, and that should be the case. But we all sat there after the first, and I think Matthews had two goals, and I think we all said Marner was better.
Well, Marner
was unbelievable.
Four goals that night. I think he had six scoring chances, like legit scoring chances that night.
And he just keeps getting better and better. And the rookie wall, I mean, I don't even think he's willing to acknowledge it with his play. And they're catching Columbus at the right time because if you were in Columbus a month and a half ago, you were in big trouble. But since that 16-game win streak, I think they're 8-11. And they're actually playing their backup goaltender tonight, which is surprising because they didn't play the night before. So Bobrovsky won't get the start.
Bobrovsky's really come off his high as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it seems like this to you guys at all, but remember last year Florida went on that unbelievable run in like October and November, and they kind of had that in their back pocket for the rest of the year. It pushed them way ahead of the pack. I think they had an 11 or 12 game winning streak. It kind of feels like that for Columbus to me, that they can live off that 16 game winning streak, and it's really hard to get it back again. Like, they're just not as sharp, they're not as good, they're not as productive. Their power play wasn't going to go at 26% for the rest of the year. Like, all those things were going to come back to the pack a little bit. Bobrovsky's play has really, really leveled out a little bit. And so as a result, they become a normal team again. And you win some, you lose some. Now they're in a tough spot, and it's tougher to get it back than it is to lose it. And you're right, Toronto's in there at a good time.
We have a poll question up on Twitter, at Overdrive1050, brought to you by Colt Hockey. Visit ColtHockey.com, asking what has been the most bizarre story of the past week. And the leader in the clubhouse at this particular moment is Charles Oakley getting chicken winged out of the garden. That's got 55%. That got my vote. The second place option at this point is Antoine Vermette slashing the official last night. And I'm a bit surprised. The third option, which is way behind the pack, only 12% of the vote, now down to 11% as I'm speaking, is Tiger Woods bailing on a press conference because he's too injured to perform.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. It's so bizarre. What would get your vote, Ray?
Well, I'm going to say the Oakley thing. Like, that was just so crazy to see. You got to go back to the first time that you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what the hell is going on there?
Yeah, it almost looks staged.
You're right. Like, yeah, I was just waiting for one of the wrestling managers to come out and create something else out of that.
Mr. Fuji comes out and just throws white powder.
He came out with the top hat and the cane.
Oh, yeah. Look out.
Or what was the other guy? Paul...
It was Paul Hyman. There was...
Oh, that's him.
Oh, what you're talking about... what was it? Paul Bear.
Paul Bear.
Paul Bear.
Paul Bear.
You have to leave the ring.
Jimmy Hart, Bobby the Brain. There were some great ones, man. Great ones.
They could have used one of those guys in there.
Yeah, the Paul Bear would have
been... But to miss a press conference because your back's sore... Like,
that's bizarre, isn't it?
Like, do a Skype thing from your bed then.
Right.
Like, and if that is the case, why are we ever talking about a golf career again? If you can't speak, I assume it would be difficult to play four rounds of golf in a row.
Ray, Bobby just mentioned that it's six games for Nyquist. What are your thoughts on that?
Are you serious?
Yeah, dead serious.
I thought it was a 10.
I thought it was 10 as well. I'm never surprised. I can't even imagine. I can hardly wait, rather, to see what the explanation is. We took his history into it. He didn't mean it. Well, he speared him right in the face.
Yeah. He speared him right in the face.
Would it be because he's a first? Like, is that
type of one?
I don't know. First time
offender.
Well,
can it matter that much?
That's
like,
I mean,
I get it. He's not like, he's not like a...
Marchand or something. Yeah, he doesn't have a history of, and he's not a real gray area player. Advocator's a gray area player.
Yeah, but this is so beyond, this is a different shade. Like, Ron Artest had never run into the crowd before.
Right.
You know, it's like, at what point do you say, this is such an egregious, stupid act, I can't claim that you have a clean sheet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you murder someone, you don't just get 10 years because you had never murdered someone before.
Yeah.
Six games seems just ridiculous.
I always thought
ridiculous.
You should suspend the guy on what ultimately could have happened. This guy could have lost his eye, ended his career. So you have to.
I can't believe it. That's not even in the. I don't know. Somebody mentioned that to me today because I'm in Detroit, and they said, I think you'll get six. I'm like, he better not. That'd be way low.
I thought it was 10. I said 8 to 10 because to me the reaction, Duncan Keith got six. And he tried to make it accidentally on purpose. And I think a lot of people viewed the Nyquist spear as worse than Keith's. And to me, if that was worse than Keith's, Keith got six, shouldn't Nyquist get 8 to 10?
Okay, so this comes on the, a few days or a day, whatever it was, before of what Vermette did. And it struck me when I was watching that. So the NHL has... really firm guidelines. So if you're in this category, it's minimum of 3 games. If you're in this category, it's a minimum of 10. If you're in this category, it's a minimum of 20. Vermette's in the second category, so it's a minimum of 10. In the NHL, it's a free-for-all. It's like throwing spaghetti on the wall. Like, why would it be so difficult to have some parameters built in so people have an idea? The fans, the media, the players. Like, I'm not going to – he didn't get off scot-free because he got 6 games. But that's ridiculous. If I were Jared Spurgeon, I'd be pissed off.
Well, speaking about Minnesota, there was another bizarre incident where Antoine Vermette slash the ref.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen anything like that?
The last one, Tom Lysiak got 20 games back in the late 70s for kicking out a linesman's feet, which was crazy. When you see the video, you're like, what the hell was he thinking? But so I'm in Detroit. I run into, at the rink today, I run into Sean Horkoff and Chris Draper. And we were talking, and somebody brings up Vermette. So we were all centermen. We all took, like, literally thousands of faceoffs. And I said, like, did you guys ever think of doing that? And they're like, no, what the hell was he thinking? Like, why would you do that? And so what we came up with was he was probably getting straightened out. You know, they wanted to square up the faceoff. And the linesman dropped the puck before he was ready. And that happens enough times that, you know, it happens. What are you going to do? It was a neutral zone draw. It wasn't in the defensive zone. Like, what? He wins 61% of his faceoffs. Like, what was he doing?
Another bizarre moment where you can't explain it. It's impossible to explain what he was thinking of doing.
I mean, Donnie Henderson still hasn't come back from the Weidman hit. You really? Have to think, yeah, he's not in the league this year. You have to think that the referees, I mean, what happened with that situation, that should have sent the message throughout the league, like, hey, like, refs, if you already didn't know it,
but everyone knows it.
I know,
like, that's
but that's
the thing. There isn't anyone that thinks.
But even going near a ref,
what about this?
Is 10 or 20
about,
games.
I was thinking about this today. Do you think the actual linesman himself should have any input on the suspension? I mean, if the linesman went up to the league and said, look, he just kind of lost his pay. I don't really care about it. Should that factor in at all, or it's just the act itself?
I don't think it should factor in, because what if the linesman actually has a decent rapport with that guy? Or what if the linesman actually hates that guy?
Yeah, you're right.
Because there were certain linesmen I hated. 25 years later, I still hate them.
Kevin Collins?
I'm not going to say. He hates me. I can't stand him. He never liked that I said, you're never going to get the orange armband.
You're never going to get the orange.
You know what?
Armband.
Like, that's. There are certain linesmen. I actually didn't mean to bring up that name. Kevin Collins would always yell at me, too. And so I.
He was aggressive.
He was an aggressive linesman. He
and was, I was. You know, and I didn't like it. And so we got into arguments, Noodles, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And so I'd say, look, just call the icing and drop the puck. That's all you got to do.
I know.
He didn't like that.
But he would always come and give me heck left and right, like either in the net or on the bench if I was chirping. So I always thought he was a touch heroic. But
you know what's funny? We have never spoken about that.
Yeah, you and I? No, never.
Never. And that's the one linesman out of the hundreds that we probably went across.
Yeah.
Sorry, but, Kevin.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
52.
I'm sure
it doesn't matter
exactly.
Anymore.
I'm sure it's fine now. If I
he
run
never
into
did get the, actually, he never did get the armbands.
Noodles, I saw him a couple years ago in Grand Rapids. He's a supervisor.
Yeah.
And we walked by, and I was like, hey. And he's like, hey. Like, there was no how are you doing or what have you been doing. And I'm like, oh, my God, we're like middle-aged guys now. Like, who cares anymore? But apparently you do.
He probably still remembers the orange armband comment.
I thought that was rather effective, actually.
That's some of your best work.
Yeah.
And I can understand why there's a deep-rooted hatred that won't be going away in this lifetime. Anyway, enjoy it tonight, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then, boys. See ya.
Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto, or visit timeshareexitteam.ca. You can text us 105050 at any time. Someone texting in saying, Ken Hitchcock kind of looks like Paul Bearer.
Nope.
We're not going down that road.
Do you want to hear some Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to hear it.
Oh, yes, Ted DiBiase. I've seen the evil that you have purchased. The evil that you call the Undertaker. And oh yes, you're having fun, aren't you? Trying to tarnish the name that it took years for my Undertaker to build.
Can the Leafs win on back-to-backs?
Maybe we need to.
Oh yes!
I think we need some Paul Bearer percentages, potentially.
That would
mix
be
it up
good.
A little bit.
Yeah. That would be good.
The pallbearer. I think that was really his only gig with the WWE. It stuck for a long time. He just passed away, like past couple of years.
Well, you get typecast. Like, I don't think he's rolling into big business and going down with that nonsense.
Imagine that guy though. Like, that's a very well played role. You got to give Paul Bearer some credit.
I wonder if it ever like crept into his regular life. Like just going into Starbucks. Can I have a latte?
What's your name? Paul Bearer.
Yeah, Paul Bearer.
Mr. Bearer. Actually, I saw once on YouTube kind of like outtakes. You know when like me and Gene Okerlund would do like, what would they call them?
Like, interviews?
Yeah, interviews. Yeah. But they had a specific word, a wrestling word. I don't know what it's called. And he couldn't even keep it together. Like, he was kind of laughing a little bit because he's really? Like, this is so stupid. Like, he was playing the role of Paul Bearer, and he couldn't even keep it together. Anyway, Jerry's percentage is coming up. Maybe we'll revisit that Valentine's Day poem from Jerry.
Okay.
We'll get to that. And Masai Ujiri.
Oh, yes.
Masai's coming up in about 35 minutes. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
Man, the Paul Bearer.
Oh, yes!
Paul Bearer.
He's the best.
There's so much material I want to get into here, but we're going to act like professionals.
We're going to have to save it for breaks.
Yeah, we'll save it for breaks.
Yeah, we would have to head down to HR if our breaks were on air.
We could be in some trouble. Jerry's going to call in here in just a moment with a bunch of hot takes, but he called in earlier today into the Valentine's hotline, and he had a poem. It's a day late, but we decided we'll give you some Vine here. We can let you play it, right? We played it in the previous hour. Do you guys want to get back into Jerry's Valentine's Day poem?
Yes.
And now, a very special Valentine's Day poem from Jerry.
It's that time of year again, and Jerry's feeling a little bit romantic, so I've come up with a poem. Roses are red, violets are blue. You're all filthy pigeons, especially when you boo. I really hate this show, because your percentages are dog poop. The only person I hate more than you three goons is that idiot Snoop. Now let me wrap up this poem with a hot take or two, and then I'll finish this off with a big screw you. The Leafs are going to the playoffs, the Jays will too. Austin Matthews gets the Calder. Patrick Laine, who? I promise to screw you, so try this one on for size. When you fat, pathetic losers don't finish the 10K, Jerry won't be surprised.
That is a big screw you on Valentine's. No faith in the boys finishing the 10K.
I think we'll do it.
I think we're all going to have to get there. We're going to find a way to make it work. Quickly, Danny tweeting in saying Paul Bearer was actually a mortician in real life.
Really?
Yeah. He had a degree in mortuary science.
So he could go back to his job, but that would be really creepy walking through. You've gone through some sort of loss, a tragedy, and you see this guy's mug sitting at the other side of the table.
No kidding.
To help you. Like, that would be scary.
Yeah, you're the Paul Bearer?
Yeah.
Paul Bearer is the Paul Bearer?
I guess.
All right, Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands. Let's get to the intro for Jerry.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's Percentages.
No, keep the booing.
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, we know the way this works. Bunch of hot takes. We all place a percentage on the likelihood of them actually coming to fruition. Let's see what Jerry has in store this week.
The Raptors will have a huge response from the Ibaka trade and finish second in the East.
That is a hot take because they are currently 4.5 games back of Boston, and there's not much time left.
I think 25% is my answer to that. I have hope. I'd like to see a re-energized team, but...
Last night's game scared me, I'll be honest.
Last night's game was kind of part of my 25%. It's like...
That's why I'm lower than you.
Really?
I'm going lower than you. I mean, Boston and Washington, first of all, it's not only about catching Boston. You had jump Washington, who's been red hot recently. Atlanta's been playing a lot better. And 4.5 games, that's a lot to make up when you've only got, you know, 25, 27 games left to be played. I'll say 10%.
Really?
10%. I think they've dug themselves such a hole. They've played so poorly. They've lost like 11 of their past 15 games. That's a huge hole to dig.
But the big trade coming in, he's going to have an impact. Maybe they go on a run here.
Okay, but what if Boston makes their own trade? What if Washington makes a trade? I'm low.
I'm going to have some faith. He had 25%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go 27%.
Just a bit higher than O.
Yeah.
Just a greasy.
That's a lot of faith.
Yeah, that's not much faith.
No, but it is still a little bit more than both of you are throwing.
It's a lot more than I'm throwing out. I'm at 10%. I just don't see it happening. I think they've dug themselves too big of a hole.
Michelle Therrien will be back in the NHL as a head coach within the next 12 months.
10% on that one. I'm just giving him 10% because he is a coach.
I think his concern is that a lot of coaches have been fired already.
Yeah.
And there have already been hirings. Like, Julian's already in. You know Yo's going to be the guy in St. Louis.
See, Florida, Gallant's still out there. See, Florida's going to dust Tom Rowe at some point.
And Vegas needs a coach.
Vegas needs a coach. But I'm with O. I think at some point, teams need to step outside the retreading of the coaches. Travis Green's name is out there. There's a couple other young guys. And I know it didn't work out or hasn't so far for Jared Bednar in Colorado, but they've been an absolute mess. Let's be honest. Like, they didn't give him much to work with. At some point, Vancouver's going to be moving on from Willie Desjardins.
Maybe Calgary.
You're right. Calgary comes up.
So you're saying there could be a lot of options out there.
I believe there's going to be a lot of options. I think Therrien gets back as a head coach. I don't believe in the next year. I think he's going to have to. He'll be on the Carlisle plan.
Okay, what's your number?
What were you, O? 10?
10.
6%.
Okay, I'm going to go higher than you guys. He seems like a mid-season
hiring,
which would be.
Country club team that needs a hard ass.
Which would be the next 12 months.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's say Calgary, for instance.
Somebody push him.
Gullitson sticks around, but they just have a horrible year. I'm not going to go into the majority. And Therrien's reputation took a big hit in Montreal, but not as big as Carlisle's took in Toronto. Carlisle was just destroyed in Toronto, and he got a job, 16 months later, less than that? I'll go a bit higher than you guys. I'll say 35%.
It's good
within
rationale.
A year.
Within the next 12 months.
It's good rationale.
Like, everyone thinks he's an awful coach. He's been in the league for a long time.
No, I didn't think he was an awful coach, but just like Ken Hitchcock's not an awful coach, but you hit that expiration date, and you've got to move past the coach. Paul Maurice, I know everyone's talking about him maybe potentially getting an extension. I think we were talking to Gary Lawless about that. But at some point, Winnipeg may turn the corner. There's going to be a few other teams, but I don't know if it's going to be a year. It could be more like the Carlisle plan.
At least one more NHL team will fire their coach before the end of the season.
Man, that would be a big number. There's been a ton over the past like week and a half.
I don't think there's going to be any more.
You don't think so?
I don't. I'm going 0%.
0%.
You don't think Dallas could?
They'll wait till the end of the year, I think, with Lindy.
Yeah, I would have pulled the trigger.
What are they going to do now? It's already over.
But is it over? Like, did they?
They're not making the playoffs. You ride it out, and at the end of the year, you say we're not re-signing you.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. But with the quality of coaches out there, like that's Claude Julien, Ken Hitchcock. I would have, if I was Dallas, I would have grabbed one of those guys. And I know Hitch has been there, done that before in Dallas, but they still have a pretty talented team.
That's the thing. Do you fire your coach out of anticipation of getting in front of Vegas. Like, knowing that Vegas is hiring someone between now and the draft.
Right.
Do you get out in front of it so it doesn't get leaked that you're talking to other people while you've got a kind of dead duck sitting there behind the bench? I don't know. I kind of feel like they've probably hit their limit. Dallas comes to mind.
You think the league has hit their limit?
There'll be more in the summer. I just don't know if over the final month and a half, 2 months of the season. You said 0%. I'm not going to go that low. I got to leave the door open a little. I'll say 15%.
I'll go 28%. But I think that there could be one other bullet out there.
But what if Calgary gets smoked again tonight? Like, do you think Gallatin is 100% safe the rest of the year?
I don't think.
Because they could make the playoffs.
They were on their break, and all the teams caught up. Just like we were talking about with the Leafs and games played, Calgary went on their break, and everyone caught up to them on games, and they were just outside the playoff picture.
They got Johnny Gaudreau on the fourth line.
Oh, yeah, he like crapped the bed. He didn't
their
play
their goalies
well
are, I'm sorry,
yeah,
they're horrendous.
You're right. They haven't
those
played
two
well
teams we're just talking about, what do they have in common? Awful goaltending.
Mm-hmm. And structure.
That's right.
That's the thing. Dallas, they can't defend. They can't. They're not good in their own zone.
And that's on the coach.
Exactly.
In a lot of ways.
Over the final 27 games, Austin Matthews will average over 19 minutes of ice time per game.
This is an interesting one from Jerry, because Matthews is averaging, I believe, 17 minutes and 45 seconds a game.
No, he's not going up two more minutes.
You don't see it?
No. 4%.
I got to go higher than that. I mean, at some point, you got to say.
Why?
Because he's clearly their best player. And
really?
Let's say they get three points out of the playoff spot.
You think the coach wants to do that to him?
But what if the playoffs are on the line? Like, what are you going to play? Ben Smith his 12 minutes?
No,
sorry, Ben.
4%.
I'll take 2 minutes out of you. I mean, Marner was killing penalties last night. Matthews, I know Babcock doesn't use his centers very often
to kill
penalties.
You know that jump is very significant?
It's a big jump.
So it's not going to happen. It's
I think 4%. He's capable of making it, though, don't you?
He's capable, and whether it happens is two different things.
All right, you're low. I'm higher than you. Go ahead, Noodles.
Well, what are you, 10%?
No, I'll say 40%.
You say 40%?
40%. He jumps up a minute 15. He's at 17:45. I'm saying he's going to average... I mean, I'm still in the minority here.
By the 19 minutes. By the
over
end of the year, you look back.
No. The remaining games. Just the remaining games. He's not going to jump over it over the course of the year because I'm not sure that'll be possible. But over the remaining 26 or 7 games that they have, he will average 19 minutes. I'm at 45%. I'm still in the minority, but I've got more faith in it than you. I think that makes sense. Start playing your best players more. Babcock does not. He spreads the minutes out more than any coach in the league.
Yeah, I could see it happening. I just don't know if the average will work out. It could be like 18-52.
It might.
Thing.
That's fine.
That's
then
where I'm. That's
then
where I'm at.
I'm at a
26% for that.
At some point in her career, Jeannie Bouchard will get back into the top 10 world rankings.
She's already a 10 in the SI swimsuit edition.
Jerry's right about half of that comment, because I got to go low on the idea of her getting back into the top 10, but the picks in the SI swimsuit edition are dimes. But she's, I think, ranked 45th in the world right now. Her game is completely spiraled out of control.
I'm going to give it a 25%. I think she's a Kournikova.
Yeah.
Had a little...
She was... Like 5th in the world, I believe, at one point. She was going to Grand Slam finals. And
I'm giving her a 10% that she gets back in 10.
Top 10, a 10 in the SI,
I'm
10%.
Heading down the Kournikova.
Well, I think she's there right now. Now, like, you know, it's always subject to change. I'd like to see her get her game back. But, you know, being in the SI swimsuit edition, then you're morphing into a sex symbol. If you're not already there, there's nothing wrong with that. You can capitalize on that greatly. She didn't do the shoot for free.
Well, the Williams sisters, they do both. They're in pictures. They're in
They are. They're great athletes.
But they also get the job done on the court.
Well, they're also way better than she is.
One is ridiculous. And the other
Venus
one,
was great, but she, you know,
Venus
age caught up to
Venus. Dropped off. Serena's still just destroying people.
I got to give her a bit more. Because top 10, I mean, maybe she could get to 10th. Not that high, though. 15%.
There you go.
15%.
John Gibbons will get a new contract from the Jays before the start of the season.
So for all the Gibby haters out there, suck on that one for tonight, will ya?
John Gibbons, he seems confident. Richard Griffin wrote a piece today. He's got his feet up down in Dunedin. He's waiting for that contract, and he thinks it's coming. Gibby thinks he's getting paid between now and the beginning of the season. I'm going to say 50%.
Really?
I'll give him 50%.
I was going to say 60. 65, I'll go.
Because the lame duck stuff, right, you can still fire him. You know.
So you think he's getting a little security regardless what happens?
Kind of a golden
watch. He had a
clause
in his contract where every
They changed that, though. The new guys came in and said, we're going to have to delete that part of the contract.
38%.
All right. And still some love for John Gibbons.
It is, but I think the new regime, he's on a short leash.
Masai Ujiri in about 20 minutes. We don't know if Serge Ibaka is going to play tonight. What is the holdup? We'll get you that answer. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup Player of the Day. On Friday, call with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Montreal Canadiens Saturday, February 25th down at the ACC. The theme this week is all about players who were on the Maple Leaf roster the last time the Leafs actually beat the Canadiens, which was on January 18th, 2014. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Cody Franson. Cody Franson is your Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. We have a poll question up on Twitter at Overdrive1050 asking people what has been the most bizarre sports story of the past week. 55% of the vote, Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
Madison Square Garden. 34% Antoine Vermette / last night.
Tiger coming up.
Only 11% for Tiger bailing on a presser. Maybe people just kind of expect that out of Tiger.
Yeah, I think it's... That narrative is there already. Oakley, that came out of left field.
No one saw that coming.
That was
nobody
just
saw
charts.
That. That's an obvious winner for me. But it sounds like Vermette will get 10 games, and that's an obvious for me as well. You can't do that. You can't slash an official. You just cannot do it. But Gustav Nyquist only got 6 games.
That is insane.
For slashing, hacking, taking an axe,
the guy in the eye.
To Spurgeon's face. Like, yeah. I'd love to hear the explanation.
Well,
I don't get 6
safety,
games.
I think they've released it. So we'll have to watch the video. They bought the fact that Nyquist said he was trying to go over Spurgeon's head with his stick, and it was accidental.
But how do you buy that and still give him 6 games? If it's an accident,
you
then...
just say 0?
No, but I would say less. Like, and not to mention, the guy, he didn't even fly to New York. He said, no, I'm good over the phone.
Well, because if you know, to me, he's probably said, I'm screwed.
But that's my point. That screams guilt to me. I'm done. I'm not flying all the way there to, what, have them lambaste me face-to-face? No, thanks.
I had a phone hearing, and it was scary.
We'll try to get to that in the next 20 minutes, because we're off early today.
Oh, yeah.
Leafs Blue Jackets. And Masai Ujiri will join us to kick off the next hour. Raps in action tonight as well. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.